Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, guys, welcome back to the bonus podcast. We weren't going to do this tonight, but the DGS was really, really short today, and I feel bad about that. So, yeah, we're doing an extra podcast. And shout out to Dave Klein for helping me post this, because I still don't have like clearance to post things on KMOX. I feel like I'm on a probationary period or
closely
something.
Closely guarded secret.
So he gave me the intel that I needed to get this posted for you guys tonight. So hopefully this is better than nothing. I do wish the DGS had been longer today. I do want to tell you, Andrew, Mark Reardon was just so sweet to me because 6 o'clock, the show ends, and I'm walking back to my office, and he was standing outside of it, like, typing on his iPad, doing something, I don't know. And he's like, "How are you?" And I'm like, "I just did the weirdest show ever," because it was really short. And he's like, "Oh, it's not a big deal." He goes, "I know it's weird, but this time of year is the worst. It's not going to be like this all summer. By September, you're never going to do it." So that did make me feel better that we're not going to be, like, just taking away people's content indefinitely. Yeah. It's just a really weird adjustment. So I do apologize for that. No one on the show is like, "Yay, we didn't do..." You know, we only did like a combined 3 hours yesterday and today. We don't like that. We want to do more for you guys. And that's a big reason why the bonus podcast exists.
Yeah, important
today thing. Today really went a lot later than it was supposed to, this freaking Cardinals game.
Important thing to note, like, because I'm here and I see you guys. You guys aren't like partying out at, like, you know, out at like McGurk's before you come in here.
No.
Like, you guys are here
wanting
just
to go on the air.
Really wanting to go on the air, but the Cardinals game just won't stop. And it's
so,
like,
I think what we need to do is abolish the Cardinals, and then this won't be a problem anymore. Speaking of the Cardinals and KMOX, so I run the board over there still, and you always have the thought of, like, man, if I were on this station is just so legendary. I'm just going to keep it so buttoned up at all times, and I'm just going to be like my best self on KMOX and just kill it every single day. That is not what's happening. I keep accidentally saying things into the mic because I'm forgetting my mic is still on. Like, we have our time checks, and I'll be like, "It's 6:18 on KMOX, brought to you by the Heisey Advisory Group." Sorry, Tony, what were you saying? Because I'll, like, forget that my mic is on too much, to the point where it's embarrassing, and I have to get a handle on that and stop.
Yeah, glimpse behind the KFDK curtain. Sometimes, now, while it seems like we just are a well-oiled machine at all times, sometimes Mark will actually cut his microphone off, and I'll cut mine off, and he'll say to me, like, "All right, so how should we do this?" Or, like, you know, when do we need to get out here? Something like that. Radio magic. Try not to blow anyone's mind that I'm a glimpse behind the illusion here. But most of the time, I'll forget to turn my mic off. So in the middle of a guest saying something or whatever, Mark will be like, you'll hear, like, "Hey, when do you think?" And I'll be like, just hit the thing. Just hit the thing.
As soon as
thing.
This guy stops yapping.
Just hit the thing. And I will realize that my mic is on, and then everyone's staring at me. That happens about once a day.
Did I send you the other day whenever I messed something up and I also forgot to turn on my mic? So it was like overlap of spots and then dead air and then me going,
You went,
well, just like trying to, like, soothe myself,
like
as
a
I
bell ringing.
Try to fix the situation as quickly as possible into the mic. So, yeah. Oh, what do I want to talk about? Oh, I was on Twitter the other day. I mean, I'm on Twitter 24/7, but I was on the other day and I happened to like look at your profile and it was like Andrew Stoll's producer, The Mark Reardon Show. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird changing
It's so
that.
Weird.
It was weird typing that out. I need to.
Just the way things are now, but I was like, oh, wow, that's so strange.
I need to like actually tweet. I haven't tweeted.
You should send out a tweet. Well, I'm going to go look up your Twitter right now, actually.
I don't think I have tweeted myself
I don't think I've ever seen it.
And it's not great. Because so many people, I think, from the stations, they want to, like, follow me, but then, like, I just give them nothing.
So the last thing in your timeline mm-hmm. is a retweet from May 23rd, 2019, mm-hmm. so almost two full years ago, mm-hmm. and that was from one of the DGS Lives, and then your other latest timeline tweet was from the other, it was a retweet of Tony from another DGS Live. Let's see. I'm going to try to see. Okay, you did say for people to go out and vote in the 2016 election. So this is the kind of cutting edge, you know, it's timely content.
Yeah.
You can just retweet that once every 4 years.
You know what? Here, I wonder if I can change the date on that so when people scroll through, they're like, oh, he just tweeted about the election. Which one doesn't matter?
Good stuff.
Not important which one.
Dude, so I have in my notes here for the podcast rap game Jar Jar Binks because I wanted to bring this up. Sometimes when I walk, I'm a kind of a gangly person. I'm probably a little bit taller than the average girl. I'm at least 5'7". I might be on the 5'8 side. And I have very long arms and legs, but mostly very long arms.
Man, just the bragging.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm spindly. I'm, like, lanky. I wish I would love nothing more than to be, like, tiny and petite, but I'm just, like, I'm lanky, and sometimes I feel like when I walk, my arms are swinging, mm-hmm. like Jar Jar Binks, like, bloop, 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 bloop.
People in high school used to make fun of me for having like a...
You have a saunter.
I have a saunter, and one of the guys I was in marching band with used to call it a pimp walk. And he was like, teach me that. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, teach me the walk you're always doing. And I'm like, I don't know.
That's just the way I walk,
it's
bro.
It's just how I walk. It's just trying to move all of this in the right direction.
It kind of feels like you're bullying me right now.
It wasn't. You know what? That's the funny thing is that it actually wasn't bullying. It was pretty genuine. And I was like, I don't know how to help you. It's just... me moving my stupid body around.
How you walk like that? I don't know.
Teach me the best way to teach me that cool way you're walking. And I'm just like, you mean the one where I like knock into everything and knock things off of shelves?
No, dude, I'll like catch myself with my arms swinging and then I can't stop thinking about it. I'm like, stop swinging your arms. But then that feels really unnatural, so then I will swing a little too much, and I just feel like I look insane.
I see you fall into, like, the exaggerated swing sometimes.
Oh, you
like,
do?
Yeah, well, like
well,
the...
Well, that's my fear.
Like,
that's...
like a joking swing. You, like, really kind of swing them, like, a lot.
I don't know if it is a joke. It could just be, like, I'm in a bad rut with all of it or something. It's OCD. Great, now I'm going to be thinking of that. I don't really have that much to talk about, man. I should have thought this through more
before.
How was the game? I was like...
Jeff on.
It was cool. It was I guess there's like a suite that I don't know if it's the KMOX suite. They won't tell us anything like this. Mm. If you ask the sports guys or Steve about like Cardinal perks and stuff, they get very cagey. Like they don't want to talk about it really. Yeah. So again, I'm on a probation period over there. I'm not quite sure what's going on. But Dave was like, yeah, I think it's the KMOX suite. So we get there and we were the only people there for like 5 minutes. And that was really cool. But then a bunch of other people showed up and they were definitely not with KMOX.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we talked about this on the show. I was kind of convinced we were in the wrong place. And Dave's like, no, of course we're in the right place. While like covertly trying to check and make sure that we were cool. But we didn't stay very long. Probably could have stayed much longer.
Yeah.
Because the game went on forever, but we stayed until like maybe 1:30. We're only there like an hour, and I know that's like really cool that you get to go pop down to the Cardinals game for a second.
Fun. It's pretty neat. Did you guys tell the hot dog story?
We did. Yeah, smuggling hot dogs in for you.
It was the highlight of my day. I was like, oh my god. Because you had said, like, I don't think I'm going to be able to bring you this hot dog. And I was like, well, I guess I understand. I mean, you know, we have to make sacrifices.
I found a way. Made it happen.
Do you want to tell the people your reality show idea? And maybe see if anybody has
any. Oh, yeah. I mean, people could try to give us a suggestion. So a lot of times I will enjoy when people will do a quick recap on YouTube or a podcast or whatever of a fun reality show that we could perhaps get into. Because I was watching The Circle the other night and I sent you a Snapchat of it. And you were like, oh, that seems cool. And The Circle is really good, but it's the second season is already almost done. And I want to do something new and fresh. I want to do like fresh content.
Yeah. And something you haven't seen.
Yeah. So if you guys would like, I mean, this would not be the whole podcast. We might do like a very special episode every week recapping the new show. But if you have, like, you know, people love stuff like Love Island and The Bachelorette's coming up. Oh my gosh, dude. Did you see that the Bachelor? So the Bachelor's name was Matt, that got the first ever Black Bachelor. Mm-hmm. You remember this story?
Yeah.
And then the girl he picked, it was like, she's low-key racist.
Yeah, it was like he picked the racist girl.
They're back together.
Yes. He can't stay away.
Exactly.
He can't resist.
And he's just like, you know, it is what it is. I like her. And I'm like, dude, if I'm Chris Harrison and I lost my job over this girl because I was just trying to be like, yeah, I mean, let's cut her a break. And then Matt, the first ever Black Bachelor, is like, I'm breaking up with you because you didn't realize how problematic this was. All right, we're back together. Like, dude, what the heck?
In the words of Mark Close, the heart's going to do what the heart's going to do.
Yeah, is it that or is it the heart wants what the heart wants? Let's look it up. Heart Close.
It's the heart, because the phrase is the heart wants what it wants.
The heart's going to do what the heart's going to do.
You're
the heart's
right.
Going to do what the heart's going to do. Because that's why it was fun, because the actual
the heart's
going to
do what the heart's going to do.
The actual phrase was the heart wants what it wants, and he went, the heart's going to do what the heart's going to do. And we were like, that's not right.
That is from February 23rd, 2012, is what the computer is telling me.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Gosh. Man, time might be coming around for me to do another rewatch of Pretty Wild, the best reality show ever made. Do you remember this?
I do.
Do you remember what was special about it?
I remember that now it's a TikTok sound of that lady's like, she said I was wearing 4-inch Louis Vuitton heels. I was wearing 2-inch kitten heels, you effing bee.
I was wearing little brown BB.
Yeah, little brown BB kitten heels.
No, it's
that's all I really remember about it.
Pretty Wild is the show that ran for one season on E! Back in like, boy, I don't even know, maybe like 2006, 2007?
It's old.
And, It had to stop because during the filming of it,
Bling Ring.
The Bling Ring, which the cast members of this reality show were like breaking into the people at the time, like Lindsay Lohan was a really big star at the time. She was one of them that got hit. Mm-hmm. They were like breaking into these stars' houses and stealing their stuff. And like
while they had a reality show.
And the reality show is brilliant because it ends up looping into and kind of ending on that because they managed to like. That's what that crying is from. It was from when I think Alexis is her name, went to court, and the court reporter.
She said, I was wearing 4-inch Louis Vuittons.
And like the mom calls the reporter to yell about how like wrong it was. And the reporter's like, do you think maybe your priorities are a little messed up?
This girl is sobbing.
Yes, she is absolutely like hysterically bawling.
Yeah, I think I watched that. I think I watched the majority of that season. I didn't love it as much as you, but I get why you liked it so much. I pressured you into watching it. Well, you know, I love reality TV, but I don't love just any reality TV. So when we spoke about this briefly last night, you sent me a list of like, oh, maybe we could do 90 Day Fiancé. Look, I tried to get in 90 Day. TLC just doesn't put out the kind of product that I'm into.
Yeah.
The reason I love Bravo so much is because it's so like condensed, and a reality show on like a TLC, or I can't even think of any other network that does it like this, but they will draw out the content for as long as possible and repeat stuff.
Yes.
And it's so boring when I could watch Bravo and it's like injecting it straight into my veins. Like the drama is just happening constantly.
So that's what I like. Well, and there's some more, you know, let's really break it down. Let's really get into it. Because Bravo focuses on, they also show you like The Real Housewives, for example, Southern Charm, all that, you're getting like gorgeous houses.
Yeah.
Gorgeous people.
Yeah. Like, 90 Day Fiance is like, I live in Germany in a shoebox and yeah. I'm trying to trap this American. Okay. Here's what I did love. Let me just take the listeners and guys, I'm sorry. We didn't have much to talk about. So you're just basically listening in on a typical conversation between me and Andrew. But I had never had any desire to watch 90 Day Fiancé until I downloaded TikTok about a year and a half ago. And if you know who Big Ed is,
Big Ed!
Then I don't even have to continue explaining. Big Ed is, he is the ultimate short king. Mm-hmm. He's hilarious.
Hero to men everywhere.
But he's also terrible.
Also a monster.
He's a total monster.
An absolute horrific person.
But he blew up on like TikTok especially because of his relationship with this young woman, Rose. And there were all of these really funny TikToks. So I'm like, what is this? 90 Day Fiancé. Okay. And I watched an entire season of 90 Day Fiancé, which is like 30 hours.
That's like 70 episodes.
Yeah, because I thought, oh, I'll sit through it for Big Ed because I don't want to miss a second of Big Ed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it was pretty enjoyable, but I just can't be all in on that series because it's really slow paced. And, you know, the Big Ed payoff was great, but the rest of it was just kind of boring. But here was my favorite thing about 90 Day Fiancé. So the whole concept, if you've never seen the show, is these people meet online and they're typically meeting people in a foreign country who it's heavily implied that they're scamming them because they just want to get into the United States. Mm-hmm. So it, a lot of times it's like, you seem kind of mismatched in intelligence or in looks. You guys just don't, it seems like if you grew up down the street from each other, this would never actually be happening. But since you have this prize, which is being an American mm-hmm. and living in the greatest country on earth, that's what's making you so attractive. And then vice versa, like Big Ed, for example, is maybe 5 feet tall, 300 pounds, just a general like little weirdo.
Mm-hmm. No neck.
Yeah. Dating this woman who's 35 years younger than him and is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
He's got to know that the fact that he's an American is a huge
upside
there. And he knows that he's dating her for her looks. Yeah. They have nothing in common. She's from like the Philippines. I think she was from the Philippines,
right? She's from the Philippines, yeah. And, you know, there's always a couple of these per season, too, where it's like a guy who lives very normally or is otherwise like almost destitute. And it's like, this is my girlfriend, Stasia. And they're like, she's from, you know, the Ukraine. And they're like, and how much money have you sent, Stasia? And it's like, she refused to answer my calls.
Yes.
She
only- there was a guy like that in the season I watched where he didn't seem destitute. He seemed like he had some money, but his girlfriend of 7 years would only talk to him through a Ukrainian dating site, which was very expensive.
Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about.
And he traveled to the Ukraine on seven different occasions, and she would not meet mm-hmm. him. And they finally did meet, and she was very beautiful, but she clearly wasn't into him.
Like, yeah, she just wasn't into him.
But the best part is like, these guys, and then this was also the season with Usman, and I feel like her name was Linda.
Boy, who was Usman's? That was a great baby love.
He called her baby love.
Uh huh. Usman was the like African rapper.
Yeah, he was like Nigerian, I think, and really cute guy, like really good looking. Dating this woman who again is like
Lisa.
Lisa. So Lisa's about 30 years older than Usman, and just not who you would think that a guy like him would date. But they, you know, they're apparently like in love. And the best part is in all of these relationships, the Americans go to the other country to get to know them before they decide, like, are we going to get engaged? Are we going to get married? And they're going to come back and live with me in the States. They all go there and presumably like hook up with these people and get pretty much everything they want out of the arrangement. Mm-hmm. But then there always comes a point where they're like, hold on a second. I feel like you're only talking to me because I'm an American.
They all do it every time. Do you remember what she accused him of?
She accused him of cheating on her.
She accused him of something very specific with her friend, and that was she accused him of being what she called a Yahoo boy, which apparently in the parlance of people who are interested in seeking out and dating like exclusively people who live in like third world countries is a scammer.
Yeah.
They call him a Yahoo boy because they get on their Yahoo email addresses and they email you and whatever. And so she, I remember her accusing him of that. And it's like, all right, if you have a parlance for this.
Yeah. You've ran into Yahoo boys in the past.
Yeah. If this is not your first go around with a Yahoo boy.
Oh, gosh. There was another lady and she was.
Look inward.
An older, not older. She was middle aged and she lived in Las Vegas. And she was obsessed with this man who said he was from England. And again, he was much younger. And he was the most blatant catfish you've ever seen in your life.
Is this 90 Day?
Yes.
Is this Tom?
No.
Tom and Darcy?
No.
The twins?
No, okay. Those are the twins. This is so boring
Darcy's
to anyone
getting,
who's
Darcy's
never seen
getting
the
her
show.
Own show.
Oh, well, I know.
Everyone should Google. Everyone should Google all these names that we're talking about. Just trust me.
It was an African-American lady. She was dating this guy. His name was like Coleman's or something.
Yes. Yes. I know exactly
like
what
Wilson's.
You're talking about. Wilson. It was Wilson's, I think.
I don't think it was Wilson's. But it was one, he had one name. He never video chat her. He never talked to her on the phone, I don't even think. And all of his pictures
Williams.
Were Williams. Yes,
it was
Williams.
But it was his first name was Williams.
That was his full name. He was like Prince. And all of his photos were obviously stock photos of a fitness model. And she was like, we're so in love. And her daughter was like, will you call him? And she's like, okay, I'll call him. And then like he wouldn't answer. And then she was supposed to go visit him. And her daughter was like, so what airport are you flying into? And she's like,
I don't know.
Williams, what airport am I flying into? And he'd be like, the one in England.
Yeah.
And it was so blatant.
The big one.
And she just didn't want to accept that he was a catfish.
The kids are always the best part of those stories because the kids are always like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then they do the little testimonials in the side room or whatever where they're like, what is she doing? Like just saying that over and over.
Williams.
So that's the Williams was so great. That's the difference. There's a stark difference between like the 90 Day Fiancé, Love After Lockup, Life After Lockup type shows, which I've seen a lot of those, and like the Bravo reality shows that you favor, like the Kardashians, the Real Housewives, right?
Kardashians are on E.
But.
And I would not put Kardashians in the cat. The Kardashians just happen to be famous enough to where it's like, yeah, this is mildly entertaining. But I actually don't really care about the show that much.
Yeah.
But Bravo is like, if you like reality TV, Bravo is the cream of the crop. That's all I have to say.
Well, it's two different. It's two different modes. It's two different styles of reality show. The 90 Day Fiancé.
The good kind and the bad kind.
Kind of, yes. It's like the light side, the paragon side is the housewives where you're watching because, yeah.
It's lifestyle porn.
There's drama, but it's lifestyle porn. You can watch the beautiful houses and the beautiful clothes and the beautiful people and the beautiful sceneries and settings. And then there's the, I mean, I'll say maybe a slightly more mean-spirited style of reality TV with the 90 Day Fiancés and the where it's almost more like
it truly bums you out. That was another reason why I was like,
it bums you out unless you have the fortitude, which I don't think you do in particular. The fortitude to like make fun of these people and watch these people.
Oh, I definitely made fun of it the whole time, but it's.
But not in a mean spirit. Like, you really have to want to watch their lives fall apart.
Yeah, exactly.
To really get a lot of enjoyment.
Yeah, at the end of the season, I just thought, this is such a bummer. Like, I'm not going to do this over and over again. The Housewives, it's theater.
It's theater.
It's not actually, like, flying to the others. Like, using every penny you have to go meet someone who is only into you because of the fact that you can give them a better life in the United States.
Or, like, Love After Lockup and the sequel series, Life After Lockup, where it always ends, like, very sadly. It's
I couldn't
like,
watch that.
They got this person who was in jail for meth got hooked back on meth, and now she's back in jail or whatever. It, like, it's always ends like that.
That's really sad.
It never ends. Like particularly well.
There was actually on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, there was a housewife, Sheree, who I love, who was dating a guy who was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they like showed just the that was really fascinating because there's lots of women who do that. Like she knew this guy before he got locked up, but there are lots of women who meet guys in prison and live out this entire relationship over the phone. And they didn't go like super deep into it, but she was obviously very in love with him and they were planning on getting married and stuff. But every day it was just, they would show the phone conversation and they'd be having a serious conversation and then it'd be like, this call is coming to you from the Atlanta Correctional Facility. And it was just so fascinating. Because it's like, well, Sheree is beautiful and she's obviously got money. She's on The Real Housewives and it seems like she could be with so many different kinds of guys. Not like a line of guys waiting to date her, but she could be with someone who wasn't in prison. You just get kind of fascinated with the psychology of that. Like, do you like that you know where he is all the time? Is that part of the...
It could be.
Or like you actually don't want to get that close to somebody right now. Like you're kind of feeling emotionally closed off, but you can still have this affection with someone and it's very structured. There's a lot of boundary. I don't know. Just kind of interesting to think about.
Love After Lockup kind of digs into that a little bit. It digs into the psyche of, I mean, obviously not too deep, but it digs into the psyche a bit of the people who really want to date people in prison. And that's, I think, a big part of it. That's a lot of what I've heard. It's like people who have been cheated on a lot in the past or something like that, burned in that way, where they're like you said, like, I know where he is.
Yeah.
I know what he's doing. He's not.
I know it's meatloaf night. Hold on. Let's pause for a second and try to find one more thing to talk about. The people got their 90-day content. I mean, if we had one listener who likes 90-day Fiancé, we just killed it. We just murdered that. The rest of the people probably did turn it off, but that is quite fine. Okay, I had a really dumb moment, as if I don't do dumb things all the time. I'm kind of stupid. I saw on Twitter, this girl I follow, her name's Ellie, and it's either Elle or Ellie. I can never remember it. I feel bad because she's so sweet and pretty. She was tweeting back and forth with someone about Albert Pujols, and she said that he was secretly 53 years old.
Yes, we talked about this a little bit on the
I'm so glad you guys talked about this because I said it to Tony on the break. I was like, Tony, did you know that Albert Pujols? But I had no idea that Albert Pujols was 53 years old. And he was like, no, he's not. 53 is, I mean, that's, he's not 53.
She must have been kidding. No, Mark was telling me that there's no official documentation of his birth.
And it's a big thing in the Dominican Republic.
And that's very
these
common.
Kids pretend to be younger than they are. Like, Tony explained all of that to me, but he's like, he's not 53.
I don't know. I mean, how old is he supposed to be?
He's supposed to be 41, which I don't believe that he... I don't believe he's younger
no
than
one
Tones.
Thinks, no one thinks
for
he's
a
41.
Second.
No one thinks he's 41. So what
Let's
does that
Google
mean?
Let's Google it.
So
Albert
what do you think
Pujols.
He is? Like 46,
I was
going to
say 45.
Well, the difference between 53 and 45 is not that big.
But...
Like, he wouldn't look, like, significantly different. Like, you don't look significantly different than you did when you were, like... 22.
This man was not born in 1980. There is literally no way.
Albert Pujols is not 10, even though he's been a professional athlete for decades, he's not 10 years older than I am.
Okay, former MLB executive claims Albert Pujols is lying about his age, says it's not a secret in the, I almost said the NFL, the MLB. Let's see here.
Sports!
Albert Pujols' age. That's the first thing that comes up.
There is not one person in baseball, not one executive, who believes Albert Pujols is the age that he says he is. The amount of fraud that was going on in the Dominican back in the day, the changing of names, the changing of birthdays, it would blow your mind.
Calm down, man. Doesn't seem like that big deal.
Let's see. Because
ultimately it doesn't, right?
So this article is saying that he would be 44.
Well, now that just seems silly. Now, if you're 44,
yeah,
why,
but if it's,
why lie
but if it's the
like,
issue of playing in a youth league.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then you were so good that you have to stick with that, you know.
Yes.
But I saw 53 and I was like, holy cow, how come everybody's not talking about this? Tony was like, he's not 53. There's just no way.
Albert Pujols died of old age 10 years ago.
But that being said, he's a really nice person. He does a lot of charity work and stuff.
He's a great guy. That's officially what Prince Philip died of. Did you see that? The royal family gossip?
Lying about his age to play in a Dominican baseball league?
Old age. That's the official cost.
Well, yeah.
That's the thing. Everyone was like, well, because it was presented as like a big story. It was presented as like, here's the shocking truth about Prince Philip's death. And it's like, okay, the queen murdered him. All right, let's click on this. Let's see what's going on. And then you click on it and it's like, he died of being 100. It's like, well.
Maybe we should just do a royals podcast because I am way more into the royals than I like to admit. But every time you want to talk about it on the air, people are like, can't think of one thing I care less about. I'm a red-blooded American. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. But like, it's kind of fun to think about at the same time.
It's fascinating. We could use the Lord song as a theme song.
No, I don't like Lord. I don't like her.
No.
She's not my fave.
Get her out of my face.
I also saw a clickbait article. It's almost like these royals only exist for clickbait. It was like,
at this point. Yeah.
It was like, Camilla doesn't know if they're going to call her the queen or not. And I'm sitting there going, if they called Prince Philip a prince until he was 108 years old, Camilla's not going to be the queen.
Yeah.
That's just my 2 cents. That's my prediction on the whole thing.
What's her title now? It's not princess, is it? Is it Princess Camilla?
It's definitely not princess. I think she's a duchess.
They're all, I think I'm a duchess at some point. They're all duchess. Dukes and duchesses. What is Camilla's
Duchess of
title?
She's the Duchess of Cornwall.
Oh, the Duchess of Cornwall, if you please.
She's 73, so she's only 20 years older than Albert Pujols. That is so crazy.
She's pretty. I've never seen her before.
Oh, you think she's pretty? You're
she's
like
pretty.
The only person on the planet. I know that was mean, but that was the whole thing was like, compared to Diana.
Is that what you think? Well, compared to Diana, sure.
Oh, gosh.
But I mean, him compared to Diana.
Yeah, man.
That's like a 90-day fiancé.
I actually
disparity.
Think she did become like more handsome as she got older.
Well, describing her as handsome is never a good sign.
All right. I just feel like I'm being kind of a bad person.
No,
right
it's
now.
The royals. They're fine. You know what? If there's one person in the earth.
Yeah, Camilla can take yet another joke, I
guess.
Yeah,
if there's one person on the earth that I think it's okay to gently rib about one thing or another, it's the monarchy of an entire
the
superpower.
The Duchess of Cornwall, I presume.
Oh, my goodness.
We both just sound like we're doing a Mrs. Featherbottom. A banger in the mouth, sir.
In the most delicious way.
All right, let's wrap it up. If you listen to this, thanks. The next one's going to be better. We kind of did this on the fly.
This was an impromptu.
Yeah. Just gonna say bye, guys. Love you guys.
Bye.
Have a good weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.